the foundation's goal, as I said, is to pursue the power of sound using live events in which we highlight the programs that we work on, such as music therapy programs that we offer for kids ages 3 to 5, 6 to 8, and the free group music therapy classes that we allow for people to sign up for. And we have a wonderful music therapist from Anderson Music Therapy. Noelle Anderson is a rock star. And the music therapy industry and the professionals in the region are really starting to break through on a scientific level. We've seen so many stories about how music is beneficial to your health, to your social well-being, to your emotional well-being, but really only in the past decade or so has the data started to take hold and has the medical community started to truly embrace the power of music therapy. And I think that what I would like to see from that is that it is incorporated as just as much of a reasonable way of therapy as going to see a shrink. When growing up, my parents tried to put me in a bunch of different, go talk to a doctor or a therapist or something. And I think that it would have been fantastic if it was an alternative idea, like, hey, music therapy. I think that there's a lot of ways that we can incorporate music therapy into the lives of our children to help them deal with emotional issues, mental health issues, quality of life issues, and physical well-being issues. And I think that that was one of my main programs I wanted to fund through our live events as part of our foundation. The other programs that we look to focus on that we'll continue to grow from are we have music lessons that we offer in the lower level. We have drummer teachers, piano and keyboard teachers, guitar teachers, and we work to provide music lessons for various groups, but hearing loss individuals are our primary target audience. My son, for example, with cochlear implants, takes piano down there. So we offer free music lessons for those that that fit our goal for that. The third part of our foundation's programming focuses specifically on hearing loss advocacy. And this is a much broader platform for us to talk about ways that we can highlight hearing loss and how it affects the world around us. There are about 40 million people in the U.S., I think, and maybe even more, that suffer from hearing loss of some level or another. I myself am largely deaf. I've never passed a hearing test in my entire life. I have hearing aids, and I don't wear them as much as I should. My wife wishes I would. And one element of this is, quite honestly, to be frank, is a way for me to take ownership over my own health issues. To acknowledge that I have hearing loss is an incredibly difficult thing. I spent my life just kind of dealing with it. I read lips. I follow context clues. And then when I don't understand, I retreat into the conversation with people. I'm very engaged in a one-on-one conversation, but in group conversations, because of my hearing loss, I can't always understand what's being said or follow the conversation. So I retreat and I find myself in some points of isolation. And so part of this is also me taking ownership over my own hearing loss and recognizing that I'd like to say that I'm similar to a lot of other people that suffer from hearing loss, that they don't want to go get tested because they don't want to have an audiologist tell them that they can't go see live music because it's damaging their ears, or they don't want to have to change their lifestyle. And there are these fears that come with being diagnosed with hearing loss. And these are real fears, and the fears that I have. Now, how do we overcome them? Well, first, we recognize that it's there. And secondly, we find ways to say, you don't have to change your life. You need to recognize it, and you need to find ways that you can deal with it or, address the issues that you have. But, when I have musicians come into the show, into the venue, one of the things that we talk about early on with them is that we really do want to protect our ears. We want people that come to our shows not to be blasted out with 100-plus decibels of sound. You only need a certain sound level in order to get energy and the feeling that we're trying to get at. And so we work, our sound engineers and our work with the bands that come in to really narrow down into what is a comfortable level for us to present that music. And it's not always easy because a rock band wants to rock. You know, they want to play 110 decibels and they want to feel it. And that is part of the message for us, to go and talk to the musicians. We can't expect a musician to pursue the power of sound in all its glory if they can't hear it. You know, we have AC/DC cancel a whole tour because the lead singer can't hear. You know, a couple of years ago that happened. You know, rock band, one of the greatest rock bands of all time, had to cancel a tour because their lead singer couldn't hear. Now think about that. We want them to pursue the power of sound, but we're not helping them protect their ears or do things that allow them to do that, you know, going forward. So those are some of the things that we focus on hearing loss advocacy programs. On a broader level, I want to create fully accessible concert experiences. And what I mean by that is that that we look at our events as ways to create experiences for a variety of audiences, so specifically the deaf audience. If you're hard of hearing or deaf, we have I'm working with a group right now that makes what are called sub-packs, and they look like vests that you put on, and they pipe into the PA system using Bluetooth, and you wear these vests, and they send very rich, deep vibrations into the vest so that a deaf person can wear this and feel the music in ways that they never would before, so that we create a fully accessible concert experience for somebody that's deaf. They come in, and we have these sub-packs that are available to them to put on and to feel the music if they might not be able to hear it in the same way you or another person in the audience might, but this allows them to experience it. And the other aspects, such as visual stimulus. So not every act can have a sign language interpreter come in, but we are working to find some acts that make sense for that. Down the road, my hope is to have several sign language interpreters that can come in and perform with some acts that make sense, and that you can follow the lyrics and find a way to create a collaborative experience between the two. So between those two things, you kind of create an experience for all members of the hearing community and the non-hearing community. The point where we're at right now with 5 points is really to get a name out there, put on fantastic acts, and that when someone comes in there, I don't want them to leave without having an amazing feeling in their heart. I want them to feel the message of what we're doing. I want them to understand why we're there, not just to have a show and to dance and to drink and to have fun, but it's really to remember and to recognize that the power of sound can be taken from you like that, and that the power of sound also lies in silence. You know, Stanley Jordan came in and played for us in May, and we spent a while talking, and we talked a lot about silence. And one of the greatest notes in music is silence. How you build silence into or in between your notes is directly relevant to the power of the notes that you play after it.